preaching through the book of Revelation again. Go to the book of Colossians. Chapter 2. Page 244, if you have a Bible like mine. If you don't, Colossians is one of those little ones squeezed in. Find 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You got two shots there. And then just keep going slowly. You come to Galatians, then Ephesians, then Philippians, and then Colossians. Don't try to go the other way. New Testament. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. That's an interesting phrase. In the margin they put fear or concern. Where's my handkerchief, Sammy? Is it clean?
Yes.
Thank you. You don't really expect to get it back, do you? Just checking. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. Ever so often I have people call and they say to me on the telephone, I had a fight with some friends of mine. Because I watch you. Yeah, ooh. Or I lost these two or three friends. Because I'm a king's house. Maybe I ought to tell those few king's houses who feel bad about it how many friends I lost. In order to preach the truth of freedom to you. Used to be the of the fastest growing denomination in America today. I was one of four or five people invited to every convention. Paul played the fool. I'm going to do it for a minute or two. In fact, if I were to stage one of those acts that some television preachers stage and simply have a new vision and fall on my face and say, God drove me like the prodigal back home, and I've been wrong. I'd be on every major convention list of the same organization in 5 days. I used to fill about 1 out of 50 convention requests. So it is time for me to say to those few, now that we have some 20,000 king's houses, I lost a few who prove themselves not friends from the beginning. What kind of friend is it that won't remain your friend if you change your view for something? That's not friendship. That's brainwashing domination. And the world's full of people that want to rule your thoughts. I don't want to convert anybody. I carefully said, when I said, I don't want anybody in this church that doesn't come in the faith that God will keep his promise, I carefully added, or those who will respect. Nobody has to feel, when they come to this church, if they're an atheist, that they aren't welcome. I'm respecting them by this remark. And if they're intelligent, they'll respect our commitment to what we believe in, because this is one church that dares to think it out. I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. I have that feeling. Our church has got thousands that have only heard and seen by television. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. How many knitters do we have here? Any ladies that knit? Any men that knit? How easy is it to just pull a little on one strand and move it from the other? That's why I'm so fed up with the cheap talk of love in today's church world. I'm occasionally accused of not being loving. Well, at least I understand it, which is more than I can say for some of the big mouths who talk about it. I've experienced the kind of love they talk about. How quickly it can turn to ostracism. How quickly it can turn to criticism and abandonment. Knit together in love. I don't really need to do much with that. You're smart people. And unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I also got a little fed up with people who hear me in these last few years as we have been dedicating ourselves to a necessary subject to be unfolded in these last days. Well, he's always in the Old Testament. So was Jesus. So was Paul. That's all they had. And they did pretty good with it. They turn the world upside down. But methinks it's time to remind some people also. I spent the first 5 years of my ministry here preaching verse by verse through New Testament books. I've read it. I really have. And now as we reread sections together, they must have studied the Old Testament too. Really not that far off. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order. Now, you know something? I grew up in a Pentecostal atmosphere. I'll be 55, August 14th. Remember that? That has to begin the best year of my life. 55. Unmerited favor, twice over, multiplied. I want to make sure that that point builds up. But I've never ever heard one of these free churches preach on this verse, beholding your order. You, Sammy? Now right there is where they differ with the New Testament. Beholding your order and your and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Well, I just don't feel the Lord present. Don't feel Him. I'm so low today. The Lord's not blessing me much. I just wish we could have a good old-fashioned revival time. You got to listen very closely to intonation as well as words. You might say amen at the wrong thing. You got to learn the difference between satire and prophecy. Your order always the same. Come, fight the traffic, sit down, listen to him preach for an hour and a half. Haven't had a blowout in years, except on the freeway. I got anybody here from the archaic museum days? Anybody here besides me that can remember when they used to come out of church and say, boy, what a service. The Lord was there so real the preacher couldn't even preach. Anybody been to one of those services? What'd the Lord say? Beats me, boy. It felt good though. Beholding your order and the steadfastness. Gee, I didn't intend to preach on this. I can't go anywhere in the Bible without it interrupting my message. The steadfastness of your faith. Faith unchanging. Faith steady as a rock. Faith unmoved in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. But Sister Sal told me how to walk. Quit walking in Sister Sally. Walk in him. But Brother Saul, he says you ought to walk this way. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How'd you receive him? Full of sin. Worthless. Undeserving. Headed for hell. Not because of how bad I was. I just wasn't good enough. By his standard. Try hard enough, you just might be able to fool old Sister Sal. All he had to do was shave and say, bless you, sister, and make the right motions. How'd you receive Jesus? Your best was not enough. But God said it forever settled in heaven, with the heart man believeth. With the mouth the proclamation is made. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And that first faltering step that says circumstance and the judgments of men and my failures be damned and nailed to the tree. Christ died for me and he takes me as I am. That's the way you received him. Well, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Well, I thought he'd forgive my sins when I was ignorant. How ignorant were you? You know, there are not very many ignorant people in the United States, Christian America, about what the church expects them to do. You can't miss the TV evangelist telling you every day. How ignorant really were you? I don't care whether you knew much Bible or not. I haven't found anybody in America that doesn't think that in order to become a Christian, they must perform according to the church's approval standard. Even if they don't know it, they got that concept. Yet, not performing according to what you thought the church would ask you to do. You became a Christian when you recognized he took you as you were because of your faith. And what this verse is saying, very simple. As ye have therefore received him, walk the same way. I'm the pastor here. Probably more than anyone. There's probably one place I could be ahead of all of you. And if not all of you, very few exceptions. Not in my righteousness. Not in my performance of righteous standards. In my conscious awareness of what I fall short in. Because with a lifetime of knowledge about God comes a lifetime of knowledge of how high his standard really is, and an increasingly acute awareness of the distance my actual performance and what his standard really is. In that sense, without the promises of God's grace, I could begin the day with a much weightier burden than ignorance would allow, because I know his standard. But I also know the overpowering abundance of His delivering grace. So walk ye in Him. I have to begin my day as your pastor and keep my day, claiming the promise. He still takes me as I am because of faith. And if change occurs, it's His doing. So I don't even get credit for that. Except that faith keeps the connection, and I do build up a reservoir of inheritance eternal, defined by Peter as faith tried in the fire. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, I'll get maybe to what I came to preach about, but if I don't, I'll get there, 484 finishes. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted. That means you put your root down in Him. Not your performance. In Him. He did it. We don't have to. He'll do it in us. We don't have to. He began it. He'll end it. We don't have to. Don't let anybody lay their trip on you. Save Christ. He made the trip for you. Rooted and built up in Him. Well, I agree. Such style says you got to root yourself in Him, but you build yourself up. No, you don't. Why do I leave that handkerchief over there? Is something wrong with it, Sammy? Keep it with me. Rooted and built up in Him. I wanted you to get this performance level. Rooted in Him, built up in Him. I can preach for 1,000 years. Most people will hear the first part, not hear the second part. The pressure of tradition is so great. Well, I know God can forgive me when I first come to Him, but I got to live it. You can go to hell with that belief. It'll take you there. You are not only rooted, you are built up in Him. How do you get in Him? Now that's a big problem. Romans 8. If He's in you, Romans 8 says, you're in Him. Well, how does He get in me? Christ is formed in your heart by faith. Always comes back to that. Rooted and grounded in Him. Rooted and built up in Him. Established in the place that He doesn't do it for us. Established in the faith. You know, if we didn't have these wars of faith on television, most of you would backslide. That's the difference between sheep and shepherds. Shepherd have to lead them. Our chief shepherd leads us into arenas that force the faith out. The natural tendency is just lay down in green pastures and get fat. Now, when she says to you, honey, why can't you come home like ordinary husbands and put on that tea jacket and we lay down and watch TV together? You say, honey, you married a man. And I faintly remember what made him the man you married. tried to figure how I could work that in. Mics. All right. Be one of my spiritual kids. And his wife watched him perform before they got married. But I can't resist. That's why I need grace. You have this way of setting the stage. So if they don't make it, I can say, I told you so. He'll make it. Don't worry about it. Rooted and built up in him. Established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein. Where? Where are you bound? Therein? Faith. Abounding therein. Well, now, the way you teach faith, it's hard. You got it. Abounding therein. Well, I believe if I work hard and hold on my money and invest it wisely, I'll get rich someday. Then I can really support God's work. I'll rewrite the verse. Abounding in my possessions until I can get rich enough to practice faith. Abounding in faith. Oh, I couldn't live. I just couldn't make it if I paid 10%. Niggardly in faith. And some of you poor people with bad hearing, don't accuse me of racism. You can be niggardly. Has nothing to do with that other word. It has only one G. It means cheapskate, chintzy, tightwad, stingy. I believe stinginess may be a natural trait, but there is a whole core of demons gifted with stinginess. They look for people with stingy traits so they can take up their abode in them. You'll die like a wrinkled prune. Clutched in the devil's hands. One big lifetime of constipation. I see him swollen up in every church. They can't release. I'm 30 minutes in. I want you to wake up. They will never know the joy of giving. Abounding therein in faith. Turn your faith loose. If you're so broke, 10% will destroy you. Go out with a blast.
This is the end of side one. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
When I die,
the passages that should have been outtakes if we were reruns, and that's making it worse. Let's just move on, folks. Deliverance is coming. Come on now. Sing, I want to rest. Abounding therein. Turn your faith loose and abound. Well, that's hard. I don't have enough as it is. You don't have enough faith. That's the problem. Abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Double portion month. It's hard. With Thanksgiving. I'm so thankful, Lord, it's July. I'm so thankful, Lord, you led me where I can listen to Gene Scott, who dares to call for a double portion. Does he know how many double portion months we've had? One thing I ain't is forgetful. Yet. Abounding in faith with thanksgiving. Beware. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. That's what I said. Now that's God. He gets on too many philosophic things. I knew if he got in the New Testament, he'd trap himself. Beware. Behold, beware. Beware. Nudge up close to the TV. Turn up your radio. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Gonna get old Scott now. Pyramid. Atlantis. Stars. Dogons. Beware! Oh God. Beware! Lest any man, includes God, spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Aha. Context. After the tradition of men. The subject here, the object of this correction, are exactly the people I've been dumping on and saying you're not going to dump on the children of faith and get away with it any longer. The tradition of men, that's the vain deceit.
I just don't use profanity.
The dumb jackass doesn't know what profanity is.
I'm holy. Those words never go out of my mouth. I'm holding the fort.
Constipated. I think I got a new name for them. Constipated Christians. The CC Corps. Still in the depression of faith. Beware lest any man, my born you, through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. Makes them vain. They deceive you into thinking that your miserable performance conforming to their standard will get you in. After the rudiments of the world. Exactly the way they do it. The world from Babylon's day until now. Conceive the idea that you get in. Somebody up there at the gate has a scale and they weigh your good deeds alongside your bad deeds, and if you got more good than bad, you get in. If you've got all good but one, You don't get in.
Nobody makes it by that standard. That's the world standard. Grafted onto the church. Not after Christ. For in Him, no one else, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete.
Hey, this is what faith gets me. The world may look and say, you don't look very good. You don't seem very righteous. You see, they're bothered for a few weeks, some of my critics. I cut my hair.
I mean, they just dying to find something else now. I cut my hair. In their view, I got saved. I am complete in Him. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye,
listen, folks, I don't know who's been dumping on you or laying one of their traditions on you and telling you how you got to act to be a Christian.
Ye are complete in Him. You realize that every feather in the sound of my voice is a finished product? Well, you look like you got a long way to go to me. I'm already there in His view. So are you. I mean, I stumbled in here full of guilt. You're in the right place. Ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principality and power. Well, I know some churches will kick you out if you aren't perfect.
He's the head of all principality and power,
in whom also... See, I preached a sermon and I used Galatians, remember? First church of circumcision. Where they whack on you. Come to God and get cut on. Who in the world would want to live a constipated Christian life forever being cut on? Talk about misery. I mean, put those two together. We've already gone this far. Let's finish it. A life of constipation and whacking. I mean, that's misery personified. Whack. Come on up here to the altar, fellas. We're going to save you. What? What? Line up for Jesus. We have a television ministry. We get more souls for Jesus for your dollar. We bought a buzzsaw. Just buzz it off for Jesus. Mass produce Christianity. Next line, please. In whom also ye are circumcised. With the circumcision made without hands. Glory be to Jesus. The matter with these circumcision churches. They cut on me most of my life and usually missed. I bear scars all over my body. Tried to tell them that's already been done. They wouldn't let up. Here comes another one.
You say, you're too graphic for me. I'm just preaching God's Word in the good old New Testament. We had a boy in our church up in Oroville that graduated Moral Roberts University. He never would study. The world was waiting for him. My mother had her usual Christmas play. He was supposed to read a part out of Luke. He hadn't practiced or reread it. And the night arrived. He was sitting there to read the marvelous Christmas passage of the gospel story. And he's reading along, and you could see his face when his eyes got a couple of words ahead of his voice to where Jesus was circumcised. And he wasn't quick enough in his mind to find a synonym for the word. So he didn't know how to handle the passage. He didn't. He didn't. The whole pageant stalled right there. Words like that aren't supposed to be in the Bible. Least of all used as an illustration. Ye, in whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands. What is that circumcision? In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. When they nailed him to the tree, and when he died, suffering in the flesh, all our sins, past, present, and future, were receiving the pain of God's wrath and were cut off that moment. You know what the church is doing? It's not just circumcising everybody, putting them full of pain. It's grabbing that flesh and crazy gluing it back on so they can cut you up again. I want to be graphic. It's been done. Already done in him. And every time one of these self-righteous churchmen lays on you a trip of guilt, he's trying to glue back onto you what's already been cut off in Christ, that he might be a while and chop on you a while and make you the target of his midget mind. Buried. Not only cut off, but buried. Buried with him. They want to dig it up, glue it on, and cut on you. No wonder the world is turned off on the church. They come with their guilt. Come on up here and let us chop on you now. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God. How do you come alive? Raised in newness of life? Faith. Risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you how many? All. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Why don't you forgive yourself? And the next churchman that lays it on you, give him some pain. Cuss him out. Yeah.
You say, isn't that willful sin? Not really. Just say, damn you, go to hell. You say, that's awful. Not half as awful as taking Christ off that tree. Not half as awful as destroying what God hath wrought. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, exactly in that condition, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, all of them, no exceptions. Wait a minute. There's a couple that I don't believe the Lord knew about. No. All trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Paul said the law is a schoolmaster. The more you learn about God, the more it will condemn you. That's what I was saying a moment ago when I said I'm ahead of most of you. The more you know about God's standard, the more it will condemn you in every jot and tittle of your life. Between me and that standard, blotting it out because I'm covered. Blotting out. Oh, I want to remove the blotter. I mean, I believe. Oh, God, don't make me down here where they grow tobacco. I know you blotted it out, Lord. But, you know, they need to know what you blotted out, Lord. I could tell him a few, I'm sure. Leave it there. Covered. Walk into the grace, unmerited favor. Be set free in Christ. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Condemn. 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 Sure it was against us. Be perfect and I'll accept you. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Everything you want to do, condemned. And took it out of the way. That means you not only have to move the blotter, you got to go hunt it and bring it back. And that's what a lot of them been doing. They think they've discovered sin when they preach on it. Let's move on. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Well, but I want you to have one. Mine is different from his. Nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. That means he belittled them. He exposed them. He proved them not. Triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. Hey, I've never ever heard anybody preach on let no man judge you therefore in drink. I got a birthday party coming up. Let no man judge. Contain yourself. Contain yourself. Contain yourself. I know, to not be circumcised every Sunday morning is a joy, but contain yourself. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of Sabbath days. The feasts of the Old Testament
the laws of God, built on those concepts, the traditions of men, these Old Testament feast days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. You know, that's where I was going to start. I was going to start there. Feast days, which are a shadow of things to come. And then I was going to go to that seventh seal and the first trumpet and get to Revelation. We did circumcision in. I think we ought to sing glory, glory, hallelujah. I'll preach on this verse next Sunday. I'm not sorry. Aren't you glad that Christ has set you free? Let no man judge you anymore. Stay free. Now at 2:00, start abounding in faith. See you then.